Become a podcast buddy now and get exclusive access to the new podcast episodes. You can find more information about this on my website schulzekopp.de.
Welcome to this podcast.
Water Polo Expert Talk. Get the insights.
Let's come back maybe from the future to the past again. You already mentioned that you're also playing 2 or 3 years for Partizan. In this case, you also trained and played with very known people and in the water polo scene. What are your experiences from this time in a foreign country again?
So it was for me a huge culture shock, not only inside the pool, but also outside the pool. You know, coming from an environment, the Netherlands, everything is very easy and safe. And so I wanted to jump in the deep end, you know, no pun intended, to go to Serbia to really see, okay, do I have what it takes to make it here? I thought that was the best environment for me to try to develop. Originally, I went to Belgrade to play for Banica for the second team. And then after doing 2 months of work, Vlado said, hey, listen, you can, you know, hop
you're
on.
You're so good.
Yeah. No, at that time, not even. But I think I was just, you know, a big, tall, let's say, strong body at that time. And he said, you can go on defender, you know, stay strong on the left shoulder, take some exclusions, and that can be your role for this year, you know, just to have an extra defender there. And so, yeah, working with them, it just really changed my mentality, just how I approach the sport. Everything, you know, in Holland, sports is really fun. You know, you don't have to, you know, play sports to survive, but that kind of intention of practicing there, you did. And, you know, there was... I got a lot of great advices from a lot of great players. Like, you know, for example, I think one time Amanda told me, Dusan Mandic, he told me, listen, a lot of guys like you come here to Belgrade and they practice with us. And, you know, the city is fun and there's a lot of distractions. But you came here to play water polo and, you know, you need to go all in every training, every, you know, gym. When you go home to rest, you know, you need to be completely, you know, professional. If you start to go out, party, get distracted, you know, you won't make it. So getting that kind of sense of focus, you know, that kind of sense of urgency, like how to prepare for practices, what to do, how to recover, you know, all those kind of things that was like super important. Or just like how to play on defender. Because when I first arrived, I was, you know, I was not playing so strong on the defender. And a lot of the centers at the time, you know, you had all the great centers, you know, like Boris Lokovic. I would play against them and, you know, the first few games, they would just, you know, really eat me alive. Until some point, you know, my friend, other defender, Chutkovic said like, hey, Luke, listen, you can come here as a foreign player. Everybody can start beating you and they know, oh, you're the Dutch guy, you know, the foreign player, Partizan. Everybody can just mess with you, score on you, take easy exclusions. Or you can, you know, start as a new guy here and get the reputation like, oh, if I play against him, it's going to be very tough. It's going to be a big fight. It's going to be like a struggle, wrestling, you know, fighting, swimming, everything. But that kind of mentality change, it does a lot with you, with like how you play, how you approach, when you prepare the game really to enter a fight, not just to go play, have some fun, you know. And these were all things I had to learn. And these are all things that I learned, you know, from my teammates, you know, from working with Vlado, you know, increasing the practice hours, working on my technique. Basically, I had to change everything. When I came, you know, just they were like, okay, forget everything, you know, we're going to like start you from scratch. Doing all the extra jumps after practice, you know, over my legs, all that kind of work. So in the end, it was just like about putting in really hard work, trying to listen carefully, you know, let this like humble mindset, like, okay, I don't know anything. I'm just going to listen to them. They're willing to help me put in the time. And from that, you know, throughout the year, the first year that I was there, so the first, I would say, half year, I barely played. And then the second half of the year, that's when I started to get in the water more and more. And I my first game in Champions League for Partizan, I think I played in February. And so the first, you know, 6 months was really about just proving myself, putting in all the work, increasing my game, learning the system. Vlado was very meticulous about how he wanted us all to move in, you know, a man down defense, where to be, when who has the ball. And he demanded, you know, excellence, just perfection. And just, yeah, going from an environment where I was from to going to an environment over there, it was day and night difference. So when February came around, I was, you know, working my butt off for, you know, 6-7 months. And finally, I was getting more opportunities to play. And so I think for me, it was a really great experience from start to finish, because at the end of that season, we went to the final six, and we were able to beat Poreco in the quarterfinal. You know, then we went to the semifinal against Vatnički. In the end, we lost the bronze medal match against Rijeka. But you know, I was in the team there. You know, I was playing. I was making minutes on the center defender, trying to be the best that I could in my role for the team. And that was just, you know, if you could see from the start of the year, like, okay, I didn't play to all the way to the end, to the final six, I was able to be in the team there and play. That was like just a huge progress that happened. But that only happened because, you know, I had to completely devote myself to this 24/7, just water polo and nothing else, you know, just practicing, working hard. So many times I was thinking like, okay, I can't do this anymore. I'm dying. You know, I can't go to practice. I can't swim. If he's going to ask me to swim something crazy now, like, I won't be able to do it. And then, you know, you jump in and you do it anyway. But like increasing your mental fortitude, just to put that bar higher and higher and higher. And every time doing something you think you can't do, it just, you know, breaks down those barriers. And at some point you get like really confident, like, okay, nothing can break me now. You know, I can play, I can know the systems, you know, strong teammates are helping me, you know. So at one point, you know, I was able to fit in, which was not so easy. But for that, I really had to kind of change who I was as a player, but even as a person. If you'd ask my family members after that year being in Belgrade, they would say I was a very different person than the year before I left. Just because, you know, you really have to change your mindset to that, you know, winning mentality every minute of every day, or it's not good enough. And, you know, in that time, actually, the Serbian national team also like played really well. You know, they started to win all the games the years after they won the Olympics. So, you know, I was really, like I said, lucky to be in that environment. And that really helped me, you know, to become the player that I became. It's kind of like, you know, for the Ironman, they say, you know, iron sharpens iron. So that's really the case there, you know, with being with those players, with those coaches, and just, you know, having a mindset like, okay, I want to learn as much as I can, and I'm not going to give up. And I'll see if I'm good enough. If I'm not good enough, then I'll know. And if I can make it, okay, great. And then let's see how far I can go.
So which is quite interesting, because also in Germany, at least one or two, three top clubs saying, okay, we are working more or less professional, or in a professional way and manner and whatever. And when you go to a different or another country where water polo is really in a much more better position, awareness of the people saying, okay, we know water polo, and that's then, as you said, again, a different level than on top, or one or two levels on top to the German professional way of water polo, let's say that way, that in other countries, it's really one or two levels again on top then. Yeah. So which is then for the personal development for, as you said, from a water polo perspective and from a personal development perspective, quite an interesting point.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, like I said, like that's why I think for Spandau and from Hagen, it was, you know, probably a good move to bring me to Spandau at the time, because I had that, like let's say, Serbian mentality for water polo, but I was also a Dutch guy, and those cultures, you know, were easily to mix inside the German culture, to be with the players, and just to be, you know, right in the middle of everything.
So to request or to get a Dutch guy coming from Serbia with the mentality of a Serbian water polo player, and at the end playing for Germany, so there's no room for improvement at this time. So you also mentioned that you played with several guys or international stars right now, which are also playing right now anyway, but you also mentioned that you're working with top coaches. So what do you think, what is for you a top coach or top trainer in water polo? Because there are so many different personalities and aspects of saying, okay, this guy is a good coach or not, maybe.
Yeah. So it's, I think, a marriage between the know-how of the game and the management of the players, and then bringing that together. I think Pera told me once, it's not about, you know, just only making that one player the best, but having so many players from so many cultures, how do I let them play the best together? And I think a real coach is really observing, okay, who are the persons that I have in my team? And what kind of skill sets do they have, and how do I get the best out of that team? So kind of like this word, synergy, you know, how do I get more out of the group as a whole than as individuals themselves? And so I think that really starts with also being personable. So the coach understands the player, what's going on with them. You are still managing a human being. It's not just a water polo player. This is the Dutch guy talking in me, you know, maybe in Serbia that would be a little bit less important, but you know, understanding if, you know, something's going on at home, or if you're not feeling good, or if, you know, so being kind of a player's coach, knowing with the players what's going on with them, and then getting the best out of them because you understand who they are, and then at the same time backing that up with the know-how of the game. So what to do on practice, what to swim, how to do your legs, how to prepare, you know, men up, men down, all the tactics. Usually what I saw is that it's really difficult to find a combination of both. Every coach, of course, has pluses and minuses. But I'm, the really great thing, for example, why did I think, you know, Pera Kovacevic was a really excellent coach, is because he really, truly had both. He would understand you, you know, as a player and a person, but he would know exactly what to work, when to work, you know, what kind of workout to do. But he would also, for example, instead of always only pushing us, if he see, you know, everybody's like really, really tired from a practice, then he can like change his practice to do something else, which would be more efficient in that time to get the most out of that training, which would be better for the group than to play. And I think it's about just like having really good preparation. I have this like motto, like victory loves preparation, and you know, winning the game all comes from the preparation, you know, of the team. And just really working day in, day out, having a system, having players buy into that system. So players have to believe the coach, players have to trust the coach, and this is like a two-way stream. You of course, as an athlete, you want to work for yourself. I want the best for myself and for my team. You know, a coach shouldn't motivate you, but you do need to have respect and trust for your coach and able to work on the like really highest level. And I think, yeah, you know, for example, also with Vlado, that was, yes, really, yeah, really excellent to be able to work with him, especially because also he was a defender and I was able to learn all the, you know, intricacies of playing defender from him. Yeah, I would say, you know, everybody as an audience always sees the game. You spectate, you see the games, and it seems like, you know, a great showing of, you know, water polo, like a fight and what's going on. But everything, what really the coach is doing is all happens before the game, you know, all the trainings, all the meetings, the preparing of the match. And in the end, during the game, it's up to the player. The coach, of course, with tactics, maybe during the game can change a few things. But in the end, it's all just about the player. So I think a good coach is also, you know, selfless, not to want to claim the success of the players, you know, trying to have them, get all the success they can, prepare the players for, you know, the success what they can. So,
in this case, the main goal for a coach in this case is then to prepare the player as best as possible for the games, because during the game the coaches maybe do not have really the biggest impact on the game, because as I mentioned before, the players are really making the difference, making the impact on the game due to the actions in the game, yeah, in the water. And the coach is really then person focus person or the best person saying, okay, I will make a difference or make an impact on the game due to whatever decision I make, maybe. Especially during the game then, because I have to prepare the players, be ready during the game for the game.
Yeah. And I also think now you see in the Dutch national team, Harry van der Meer, he's the national team coach. And I think, yeah, you know, he's the perfect person to lead the team right now. He, you know, is the best Dutch player of all time, I think. But that really also shows in, you know, what he's working in the pool, how he's talking with the players. You can tell he understands what we're doing and then what to do better. You know, it's hard if a coach was never a great player himself. Sometimes it's hard to tell them exactly what to do and like how to do it and how it feels. But it's easier, you know, when you have somebody that has been there and has done that and knows what you've been through, then they understand you better to do like what it takes to get there. And that's why I think the Dutch national team is also making a lot of progress right now, because, you know, they have an excellent coach who can really lead them, you know, on that path.
Yeah, so which is an interesting aspect, because I had this discussion with several referees in the past during other podcast episodes with the question, okay, do you think it's better for a good referee that you also have played water polo in the past? And there are, yeah, several opinions on that. It helps, but it's not really a showstopper when you do not really play it on the highest level, maybe. It helps, but at the end, there are also good examples of referees. They are not really played themselves very high.
Yeah, maybe if you're a very talented referee, or if you're a very talented coach, you're very obsessed with the game, it could work. But it's kind of like this thing, like talent can accelerate your performance, but it doesn't necessarily need to be the best players in the world have super talent. It can also be super hardworking guys. I think it's kind of the same with coaches or referees or anything you do. If you just put in all the hours, all the work, trying to understand what you need to do to become the best, then you can. But I think being a great referee, I would say 100% of the time, it helps if you were a great player yourself. Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
it helps. But yeah, as for example, Boris Marqueta told me last time in the podcast, it helps, but it's not a showstopper if you do not really in the highest level player yourself.
Yeah, I agree.
But maybe coming back to the actual situation. So you mentioned that you really also start the preparation for the European Championship. So what comes next, or what are the next dates and stations for you on the way to the European Championship?
Yeah. So actually, currently I'm in the US right now. I'm in New York visiting my family. I also will play some water polo for the New York Athletic Club. I'm actually a coach myself, playing for a high school program called C2 Premier. We have Junior Olympics coming up in 2 weeks, so we've been working for that. But yeah, so this is what I'm doing in the next like 2 to 3 weeks, just, you know, being involved with U.S. water polo. And I'm just training myself to stay in shape, so when I go back to the Dutch national team, then, you know, I can be ready to play. So I will fly home in a few weeks. The plan is, I think we will go to Crete for a preparation tournament. We'll have a few weeks practicing in the Netherlands. We'll fly to Budapest for a preparation tournament. And then afterwards will be the European Championships. So for me, it's a bit of a mix. Being a bit, you know, doing individual work here, and then later on joining the team to start being with them full time.
Yeah, and in this case of keep in shape, you're also working with a good player from Hannover, with Michael Zellmer. Yeah, so I guess you have also still some connections working with Mietz in this case, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the water polo industry in the U.S. It's a very tight-knit group. Connections are quite short. You know, when you reach a certain level in Europe, you know a lot of people. And when you come to the U.S., those connections are even more important. It's very helpful, coming to the pools, speaking with people, with managers, with college coaches, players, just, you know, basically anyone. And it's really good to bring that European experience and have those connections and like bring them to the US and make sure that, you know, your network is also valuable here, you know, so for yourself, but also for the team and for players that you work with.
And especially the point you mentioned right now regarding your network, so which is also a very important point, or oft mentioned point, I should say, during the last couple of podcasts, especially from the international guests, saying, okay, I create or I set up and develop my personal network during my active career, which is also helpful then at the end or after my active career, saying, okay, I have a network worldwide in best case, saying, okay, I can get a job over here and over there and whatever. Yeah. So I need to establish a connection during my active career, which is also helpful after the active career.
It's true. And like in my case, that's actually true as well. So I'm still waiting on my visa that come through for the US. I'm waiting for my final interview. But then I will be officially allowed to work here and also move here permanently, because right now I'm still living in the Netherlands. But the guys from the New York Athletic Club, the head coach, Scott Schulte, like I'm working on a job opportunity with him. And so they have, an investment bank here in New York. So it's a really interesting opportunity for me perhaps to work with them. So, you know, the water polo family, the water polo connection, you know, even after playing, allows you to have an opportunity, in a water polo, with water polo people, even after you stop playing. And so I think that's really cool. You know, like you wouldn't want to work together with anybody else if you can work together with people, you know, that you know and trust. And I think this is a very underrated part of our sport. I actually said here a few weeks ago, okay, water polo, it's not only interesting for winning and for the performance and the major tournaments. For me, water polo has been the most interesting, actually, just for the adventure of it and for meeting the people, getting to know everyone, self-development. But, you know, just really meeting people, just going around different cultures. I met so many different people I can, you know, call now really good friends, which I feel very lucky to. So looking back at my career, of course, I've been part of many great matches, many great tournaments, which I'm very proud of. But I think the thing that I'm most proud of is that I have so many people that I can call friends now, and I can just call them up, you know, having dinners, just, you know, having a good life with them. And I think that's what's, I think that's what's really, like, sometimes underrated. Just the experience of being with the team, being with the people, being with the players, and sharing that all together, you know, that's what makes it even more special for me than just, okay, we won that game. That's great. It's who do you win it with, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's not only the pure sport. Yeah. So it's also all the things and all the other aspects around the sports, from friendship and meeting other people, other cultures, learn how to interact in different cultures and so on and so forth. So which is I would absolutely agree, an underrated aspect on this.
For example, I said, so I play for the New York Athletic Club. Our team is actually very strong. We have a lot of guys from the national team, but we also have a lot of guys retired from the national team. You know, John Mann is our coach, together with Scott Schulte. And, you know, he was, you know, one of the best centers of all time. But, like, him leading the team, it's just a bunch of players collected from the U.S. and also from abroad. But we don't play that many games together, but everybody, like, mixes well together. And it's like, I told one of my friends the other day, this is like the most fun team I've played in ever. And even that I haven't spent so much time practicing with them, we play very well together because we all like each other so much. And it's like a genuine sense of everybody likes together. Everybody likes going out together. We go for lunches or food, and these events just are really fun to be together. And that's, I think, why we play so well. So you have the experience and the knowledge from the skill in the game. So no, you don't need to question anybody's skill there or motivation. But at the same time, everybody genuinely likes everybody. And you can really tell that in and outside the water, just like how people are treating each other. So that's why things are going really well for us, because it just kind of automatically happens. But that part, I think, is very underrated, that the team aspect of the people, just like, because we all like each other so much, everything else is kind of going automatically.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So this sounds like a good, closing statement. Yeah. So that we leave the people here in the podcast with these last idea and last impressions about water polo is more than only a sport. So I wish you, so first of all, I would like to say, okay, thanks for your time, for sure. Yeah, so that's normal. And also to share your experiences and thoughts with us. So I wish you all the best for the next couple of weeks and months also. Yeah, not only in terms of water polo, but also for all the other aspects regarding job, family, girlfriend, whatever. Yeah, so we are not only talking about a water polo sport right now. And thanks for your time. And it was a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Nice chatting. And I'm looking forward to all the other interviews you're going to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so I will try to do my best not to stop here at the beginning. Yeah, so we are right now at the episode 60. Yeah, so 60, 62, 63. So, it's not the plan to stop right now.
Amazing. Good to hear.
Good. So thanks for your time. And yeah, thanks for spending your early day with us. And have a nice day over in New York. And hope to see you somewhere here in Europe again.
Yeah, I'll see you later in this summer in Europe for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. So thanks. Right. And yeah, have a nice day.
All right. Thank you.